We're going to go over human trafficking. This is more of a one-on-one type discussion, so this is basically what it is. We'll look a little deeper on how it affects some of y'all's area and how it affects different parts of the states, which then affects different parts of the nation and ultimately internationally. Fairly recently, you guys had a case out here that is obviously fairly disturbing. So it is a very real-life scenario that actually plays out within your own communities. So can anybody, and we are going to be very interactive. If not, I point fingers and shine lasers at people. So, you know, jump up, throw rocks, whatever you got to do to get my attention. Let's talk about this. What do y'all think human trafficking is? Can anybody just give me their idea of what it could be? Anybody?
Being forced to... Being forced to work and one.
Yeah. So being forced to work could be one, which would be labor trafficking. What do we most often think about human trafficking?
Sex trafficking,
right? Statistically speaking, you are far more likely to be the victim of labor trafficking than what you are sex trafficking. Sex trafficking, though, kind of has its own little side to it that's very, very disturbing. So it's one thing to have, say, for instance, an illegal Guatemalan man sending $300 a month home after working hundreds of hours of work. We don't see that the same. It is equally, it's screwed up, but we do treat it differently. Because they are, in some sense, gaining an economic advantage. So one of our main partners that we work with is Unbound, just their little presentation. There are three main components are prevention and awareness, so things like that where we get out in the community, because I guarantee you guys are going to see something from here, and you're going to go, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. The ultimate, like, best thing you can do is contact law enforcement at that point. Professional training, so we train everybody from other police officers to attorneys to medical professionals to really anybody who's willing to listen. And then their third thing is survivor advocacy. We deal with a lot of survivors of trafficking. Just in the Waco area alone, I think last year we served like 93 survivors of sex trafficking. It's a lot of people. Globally, it's a $40 million a year industry. So it's big, big money to sell people. It's $150 billion annual industry worldwide. In the state of Texas, at any given time, right now, there are roughly 313,000 victims of human trafficking walking the streets. That includes both sex and labor trafficking. Also, there was a study done by the University of Texas that estimates there are 79,000 kids that are minors that are currently, at this very moment, being sex trafficked in the state of Texas. That's 79 grand in this state alone. So some of the laws that the U.S. has established as far as human trafficking, we've got one of the older ones. It's called TVPA. It's the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. It basically identifies severe forms of trafficking. So a severe form of trafficking is where a person is sold into commercial sex and they're under the age of 18. That's simple. Those are very easy cases to work. We can all look and go, a 16-year-old kid has no business being a child prostitute. There was one case out of Fort Worth that kind of came down yesterday where the judge said, well, I believe that you are, in fact, a victim of human trafficking, young lady, but I feel like you liked it. Now, what plan does that seem okay? And actually remanded her to TDC. So the use of force, fraud, or coercion also will meet the elements of human trafficking. Those sometimes get very hard to prove. If I was to take any given female in this room and I grab you by the throat and I put my 45 in your mouth and I tell you, if you don't go out today and make this money, I will blow your effing head off. Did my point get made? Do you have any visible signs that you just got forced to do something? No. What happens when the cops come and they come across you and they say, hey, are you being forced to do this? What is your answer going to be? Hell no, right? Now, say the lady sitting next to you in this room saw all of this. Do I have to do the same thing to her to get her to do what I want? No. Because she saw it, right? It's basically forced by proxy. Those type things we can use to further our cases. They do get complicated, they do get very difficult sometimes, and we have to prove certain things. And I apologize, I walk around a lot, I pace, I get really weird about it. Sometimes I'll just walk around the back, we're good. We always have to have an action to complete our crimes. Those actions can be recruiting. So if I'm out finding these girls to work or these boys to work, harboring them, if I provide a place where they live to carry out these acts. So oftentimes we'll find a little stash house where you'll find multiple people housed at. Transporting them, providing, obtaining, patronizing. So even your sex buyer can technically be charged for human trafficking. Soliciting, which would be a buyer again. And even the advertising. Advertising creates in the state of Texas what we call promotion of prostitution. We build from there. So we always have to have one of those actions to move to the next step in this. We get to our forced fraud or coercion. That's where we get a little difficult sometimes. Because, as you can assume, most of these victims are uncooperative. Is it because they think that, hey, I really like going out and turning 15 tricks a day and sleeping with some random ass dude for like 10 bucks? Of course not. But it happens. So once we meet those elements, we get into the purpose. And generally the purpose is going to be commercial sexual exploitation. Whether it be on the street, whether it be in an illicit massage business, whether it be in a brothel, any number of places this can occur. Or the other is obviously forced labor, which again, statistically, those are actually more victims than the sex. So labor trafficking is when someone is forced, lied to, threatened, or coerced to provide a labor service. We just dealt with a case where the guy says, I know you're an illegal nephew of mine, you're 16 or 17, I need you to go to work. You're going to work at such and such place because we need the money because you're one extra mouth to feed. Is that trafficking? Not really. Sometimes you just got to work. We had one where the wife was saying, my husband makes me work. Maybe this is why I can't seem to be married for too long. You don't have a job, right? I work in the sheriff's office. I don't make much money. We don't work together, girl. So, if anybody knows wife number three in my future, beforehand, we don't work. It can get a little hinky sometimes. You can also, in fact, traffic your wife through labor trafficking. It does happen. It is possible. Sex trafficking. So when someone's forced, lied to, threatened, or coerced into performing those services in exchange for something of value, can methamphetamine be something of value? Yes. Absolutely. The Supreme Court's have ruled that if you keep somebody on dope for the purpose of sex, that is force. If anybody in here knows somebody who's been addicted to methamphetamine or heroin more so than meth, if you withhold that heroin from them, what's going to happen? They're going to actually physically get sick. The withdrawals can kill them. It's so severe. So when you start getting to that point as an addict, what can I make you do in order to get that dope fix? Damn near anything, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you're just some random hooker off the street who's out doing it because you just love turning tricks to get heroin? No, of course not. It's somebody is exploiting that vulnerability. And that's what we really focus on, is the exploitation, basically, of whatever that person's vulnerability is. You're typically, we do come across kids from well-to-do families that are somehow sucked into this, but typically what you're going to come across is your average victim has a CPS history, they have a history of being a runaway, they have a history of having involvement with foster care and things like that that make them high risk. That is typically what is going on. Child sex trafficking, again, this is easy. You ain't 18? I got trafficking all day long. I don't have to prove anything other than the fact that you engaged in these acts and that you were only 17 years of age. Those, under our statute, work many different ways. It could be the sexual acts. It can also be sexual performance. So if I have a kid and I tell said 17-year-old, I want you to take video of yourself doing this and this and this, and I'm going to buy it from you, That's called sexual performance. That actually falls under human trafficking. If we have a 17-year-old kid who somebody convinces for child porn, we can also do trafficking in all those cases. So why do you guys need to know about trafficking? Texas is ranked number 2 in the U.S. for calls to the hotline. Does it, to the National Hotline Against Human Trafficking. Does anybody know who the number 1 state is?
New York?
No, California. West Coast. Yeah, California. New York, I think, is actually 3rd. Basically, is there anybody here from California? Okay, good. It involves trafficking. Nothing good comes out of the state of California. The state of California as a whole, I personally feel, really brings down the rest of the United States. It causes us depression. We wish it would go away. But we're number 2, so we're not too far behind, right? What you're looking at is called what we refer to as the Texas Triangle. The only other variation of this would be Highway 6 jumping up between Houston and then going up through Bryan College Station in that area. This is the most heavily traveled routes in the state of Texas for trafficking, both labor and sex. I-10 is actually your number 1 corridor for trafficking in the United States. From I-10 going over Houston to San Antonio, and then from San Antonio to Dallas, which we're on the I-35 corridor, and then from Dallas down to Houston, which encompasses who? Y'all. You have I-45 is a major, major thoroughfare for trafficking. The majority of your illegal immigrants or your people that are ultimately vulnerable for trafficking are coming north. We all know how this works because we all see it all the time on the news. And they actually get to a specific point in Mexico. And there is a point, I'm not kidding, in Mexico City where you decide, am I going left to California? Am I going right to Houston? Now, a guy that I work with out of Boston who's initially from Mexico City has told me that, you know, Mexican police don't necessarily play by the same rules we play by. And they have a game where they sit at this point and apparently crank rounds at the feet of the immigrants coming. And to them, it's a joke because it makes people do what? Run like hell, right? Because I'm going to run like hell. But they'll run left or right. And ultimately, that decides where they're going. So when they go through Houston, which is a huge import city for victims basically anywhere from south of the U.S. and through China and some of the Southeast Asian communities, they'll go to Houston. Well, one of your other big cities in the state of Texas that's got huge amounts of trafficking is Dallas. So they're always moving up and down that I-35 corridor. So just to look at a little bit of local type stuff. This is a website that we use. It's for law enforcement. It's a database that we're able to access various ads for prostitution and trafficking. So a couple of the things that we can do is we can search locations. So on this one in particular, I just did Waco, and we can narrow it down by keyword of Fairfield, which means when they're in there, this person is saying that I can go to, of course my pointer don't work on TV. I can go to Fairfield, I can go to Corsicana, blah, blah, blah. There are a total of 120 ads that say this, okay? Does that mean that there are this many people walking around the streets of Fairfield offering sex for money? No. What they do is they pit stop. So they're leaving Houston, and they're just putting ads up and down I-45, for instance. So if I'm in Houston, and I put out an ad, and I label Fairfield, and my phone starts going batshit crazy, what does that mean? We stopping in Fairfield, right? Because I'm going to make some money. And now we got some hotels out here right off the interstate. I mean, it's nothing to go. Usually what will happen is first trip buys a hotel. Hey, I don't need money from you. Just give me a hotel room. Any Yahoo, if you have any sense, can get on Priceline.com and Priceline a hotel off the interstate, and it's probably going to cost very little. From there, that's where they basically will work till they decide, hey, it's getting late in the day, let's move on to Dallas. So does that mean that they're physically here in Fairfield all the time, living here? No. Does that mean that they're coming through here? Of course. That particular scenario, when we go searching, what will happen from this particular woman's ad is it will show me the other ads that are placed throughout the United States on a map that only coincide with her number. So we can look, and she's got 7 in Waco, one of which just happens to be the one that led to the keywords of Fairfield. But we've also got San Diego, we've got Chicago, we've got what probably looks like Indianapolis, we've got Michigan, and we have Virginia. To me, as an investigator, that screams human trafficking. You're moving. Does anybody in here have it? Well, let's don't answer this because the answer is probably wrong to say we have great kids. Hypothetically, your average 18-year-old boy decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to leave Fairfield. I'm going to drive to Vegas tomorrow because I want to go see the shining lights in the wind, right? I would almost guarantee that if he broke down outside of El Paso, the average 18-year-old male is going to die of dehydration and starvation because they're too ignorant to know how to change a tire. Okay? That's just how it is. And they're too dumb to see the inspection sticker that gives the number for, like, roadside assistance. You cannot tell me that this pretty young girl is up burning up the countryside selling sex with nobody else, with zero protection, just for the hell of it. That tells me that this is trafficking. Just keyword, Mahaya, which is beautiful, beautiful town of Mahaya. There's 354 ads with that keyword. With that keyword coming from the city of Waco. That's not to say also, we could search keyword for Fairfield out of Houston, and we could search it out of Dallas, because it's people coming from Houston and moving to Dallas, or vice versa. That will yield even more results than just Waco. Throw Mahaya in there, come up with some ads. Same thing, we punch one in, interstate. We've got it. It's that simple. I will say that number 2 on there, that female, just as an investigator, would be extremely interesting to me. Does anybody know why? She ain't taking a selfie. So what does that mean? Somebody's taking the picture. Unless she invested in a tripod that stands high and points downward, somebody's taking that picture. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to go with that ain't what happened. So who's involved in... who's involved in trafficking as a whole? We've got traffickers, obviously, because that's the people that make all the money. We've got recruiters who are out finding the girls and the boys to make the money. And then we've got buyers. You have to focus attention on buyers. A lot of people don't like doing it, but the reality is when you come across buyers, you will find influential people. You will find people like Robert Kraft who are out with their 5 Super Bowl rings at a massage business. You will find people that make a lot of money in your community at a massage business. You will find these people coming. Unfortunately, it's husbands, wives, sons, you name it. We've arrested everybody from we did have a 15-year-old kid one time, and he actually immediately just started throwing up because he got so scared. He didn't go to juvenile, but we've had from 15 up to I saw one guy on tape, it was 90. We had one that was 80 that we physically arrested that never even heard me the whole time I was standing behind him saying, sir, sheriff's office, sir. And then we finally tapped him. Bad day. But more important than them is the victims. So what I always ask law enforcement is, how do we measure success? Is it by putting people in prison? Of course. What if I can't put somebody in prison, but I can damn sure take 5 people out of trafficking? Have I succeeded? Yes. Of course. So our main goal is actually primarily victims, and beyond the victim, the next guy is going to be the trafficker. I love arresting traffickers. So what do we think of when we talk about the word pimp?
Manager.
What I visualize is Snoop Dogg, right? I visualize a dude with a pinky ring, a purple suit, a nice-looking fedora, who's got that strong pimp hand. The reality is, that is not most of these guys. Most of these guys are cowards. They're little chicken shit idiots is what they are. They just know how to talk. And they know how to talk people into doing things. But it's a trafficker. When we talk about it, most people say, no, I'm not talking about trafficking. I'm talking about pimping. Please explain to me then what the hell a pimp is. You know, and we get kind of caught up on that. The next one we'll play a little game. It's kind of unfair because it happened out here. I don't really like this slide, I'll be honest, because not everybody on here has been convicted yet. But it's not my slide, so we'll throw it in. Can anybody on here guess who the trafficker would be? And if you work for the sheriff's office, it's unfair. Yeah, so the lady in the lower left hand was the teacher that was arrested out here. The reality is that everybody on here has in fact been convicted of trafficking. So the pretty little blonde up in the top left, she's got 20 years in prison. The other Yahoo next to her has got 30. 12 life, that guy was a case we had out of Waco. He was pimping a kid over in East Waco, which I don't know if many of y'all are familiar with East Waco. Just keep driving. But they had her hooked on heroin and held up. She got 12 life, or he got 12 life, and there were some pretty significant sentences stacked. What that did for us was a very good thing. Because if I arrest you for trafficking now, are you going to go to trial? Absolutely not. When they say, we'll give you 40 years. Are you going to take that? Hell yeah. Because 40 years is way better than life. Obviously, the lady in the lower left is waiting for trial. The lady on the bottom right was what was the show she was on?
It was something on CW.
Anybody here watch Smallville? CW? Smallville. She got caught up in a sex trafficking ring. I don't know her. Doesn't hurt my feelings. But she's also waiting for trial. I believe she actually pled guilty and is waiting sentence at the time. So what do traffickers have in common? Number one, they exploit people to make money, right? Sex trafficking is big money. One of the big questions we're asked is, especially from like the Northeast, they'll be like, these boys are from Texas. How many cartels are trafficking people? Because it has to happen. How many street gangs traffic people? We all hear all these gangs around, they're selling dope, they're trafficking your kids, all this other nonsense, right? What is the point of a gang? A few things. Some is to make money. The rest is so we all have our little clubs so we feel like a badass. That's what a gang is. As a trafficker, do I need that? No. I need what? I need money. So am I going to give my money to a gang? Hell no. Most of your gangs are not trafficking people. Now, you may have a gang affiliated trafficker, but your gangs are not out saying, oh, the MS-13 is trafficking kids all over the place. As a whole, that's not what it seems. They do treat their victims like they have no value. I encourage you, if anybody is not familiar with 50 Cent, go out, get on YouTube, and search 50 Cent, P-I-M-P, lyrics, and read the lyrics to each one. It is basically a rap blueprint for trafficking. I actually like the song a lot. I listen to it damn near daily. It's just good. But you will see how even in a rap song that people in society listen to on a daily basis, including the trafficking cop, how mainstream it is to talk about, oh, I've got on Gucci, she's got on Payless. Like, that's the reality of it. You are nothing more than a gallon of milk. They find weaknesses in victims, and they use that against them. Did you have a question? Oh, okay. If you're addicted to drugs, that's easy. I know my weakness, right? What are some other weaknesses that we can exploit?
Family members.
Insecurity. What if you have a really, really shitty home life? Could it be better than home? What if you're being sexually abused at home? A lot of girls will tell you, and women, I actually feel empowered by turning a trick because that is my decision. I did not get to decide when Uncle Tom touched me. I get to decide when this happens. Now, say that person does it voluntarily. They still is. Suspect of a crime? Technically, they're committing Class B prostitution. But when you look at the real world, behind this, I have a hard time, you know, calling them a prostitute, more or less. Lying, manipulating, force, and blackmailing their victims. Lying is amazing. I love listening to jail calls. What you'll hear with a trafficker typically is five different voices for five different girls. You'll hear his number one girl, what we call a bottom. He will be schmoozing her over like nobody's business. And he'll be telling her, you go out and you keep so-and-so working and you show me. But when it comes time to dish out the ass whoopings, who's going to get it? It's the right-hand man. It's that same girl. So you'll hear the change. Well, you're not putting enough money on my books because I have to make phone calls. And they do. But we make so much money off of pimps because they cannot stay off that damn jail phone. So he'll get sideways with her. But while he's getting sideways with her, he's telling her, be nice to this one. And then he'll get on the phone with that one. Do you think he's the same way as he is there? These guys are master manipulators. What I've come to find is most of them will actually even interview the law enforcement. So what I will say is this. If I ever commit a crime, just say in this county, and your sheriff comes to me and he says, hi, I'd like to interview you. I'm going to say, sheriff, not today. Bye. Call my attorney, because that's what's going to happen. And if he says, I'd like to see your cell phone, I'm going to say, and I'm going to throw it in the lake, and I'm going to go, what cell phone? Right? These guys will even be like, here, yeah, search whatever you want. Here's passcode. Because they're so used to talking their way in and out of everything. So getting into recruitment, again, these people, yes?
Would a bottom be considered a trafficker or recruiter or both?
Yeah, so here's the complication with bottoms. And this is where I become my ultra-California liberal detective. And fight with a lot of cops on this. So, a bottom, the actual term for a bottom is a bottom bitch. And the reason she's called that, can anybody guess? Because it actually is backwards. She's the top of the food chain. She's the right-hand man. She's called the bottom because the theory is when shit hits rock bottom, she's the one that's going to be there. So that's why they call them that. A lot of them do get charged with trafficking. Here's where I have a hang-up. I've got a really interesting, it's horrible. It's a video out of Beaumont. It's on a murder trial. As soon as it's done, I can't wait to get this thing because it's a great law enforcement training tool. This pimp beats a girl almost to death. Literally beats her almost to death. It is the craziest women I've ever seen in my life. Now, there's three other prostitutes in there, one of which is videoing. Now, let me ask you this. When he goes to her tomorrow and says, number two didn't make enough money, go handle her. Is she going to handle her?
No.
You're damn right. Why? She knows what he's capable of. So you run into an issue of where is that line of you committed a crime? Did she whip this girl? Of course. But why? You know, is it because she's just mean and ferocious? Typically, no. But they do it as self-preservation. So you will find a lot of places that will charge and will convict bottoms for trafficking. It's so dicey because you have to weigh out culpable criminal activity versus victimization. Typically, they're the most victimized. That's why they're in that position. So it gets really hinky. But to answer your question, yes, they are. By virtue of trade, considered a tracker most of the time. Recruiters. We're doing it at schools and libraries, malls, parks. There's a book. If you ever really get into human trafficking or the thoughts behind it, it's called Pimpology, The Art of Pimping. The guy who wrote it, his name is Pimpin' Ken. As you can imagine, Pimpin' Ken is a pimp. One of the things that they talked about, basically it's rules for pimping. It's like, this is the blueprint on how you pimp. Rule number seven is you always spend other people's money. I mean, and then he explains why you do that. One of the things that they talk about with recruiting is going to a young girl at a mall and being like, hey, how you doing? And determining if she's looking you in the eye or if she's looking elsewhere. And if she's looking elsewhere, guess what they're about to do? They're about to start talking. And he's going to make her fall in love. If she looks him in the eye and tells him, pound sand, guess what? He's going to pound sand. So teach your daughters and people in the eye. Shelters and juvenile detentions, big. Bus stops, The Greyhound in Dallas, Texas is a huge trafficking venue. We did an undercover deal up there not too long back, and I mean, I was sold, like, people trying to sell me dope every 3 seconds, and the traffickers are just out there waiting for these girls to get off the train, like, or off the bus. It's crazy. How do traffickers track pimps? So there are several different ways. Do what I say or I'll hurt you. That happens. Statistically speaking, that happens less than the others. You don't have to be alone, I love you, blah, blah, blah. That is the overwhelming majority of it. I love you, we're doing this for us, you're helping us, thank you so much for all the wonderful things you do. Let me go get your hair did. Let me go get your nails done. Let me go get this done for you. Ooh, you want a Gucci purse? Here's your Gucci purse. What is that? Just two things. I actually debriefed a trafficker up in Northwest Arkansas on a federal case we had. And he just laughed about that. He's like, man, if I go get her nails done, she's too damn stupid to realize all I'm doing is investing in my business. Because she looks better. Now, if you're walking around with a Gucci purse, does anybody here have a Gucci purse? Like Louis Vuitton, whatever. What better recruitment tool than my damn Gucci purse when I come strutting on by with that? Oh yeah, man, they make good money, she makes good money too, right? That's the first thought. She must make good money. Oh, you want me to participate? Pooh, here I am. It's bad juju. They do look for unmet desires of their victims. If you got daddy problems, guess who he's about to be? Daddy. If you got problems with wanting Gucci as bad as anybody who wants Gucci, guess what you're going to get? Gucci. You buy a Gucci purse off one girl in Waco in one day. That's how much money you can make. Think of what they can make moving from Houston to Dallas. The overwhelming majority of recruitment is going to be romantic situations. Also marriage proposals. We see this a lot from Asian countries. You will find people that fall in love on the internet. We all fall in love on Facebook. Facebook's the devil when it comes to these sort of things, because you will find people that have low self-esteem, and some rockin' dude is like, hey, I love you. And they go, I love you too. And then we're in deep shit, right? Happens all the time. Acting as benefactors, job advertisements and offers. Job advertisements, we don't see a whole lot of in the U.S., but it does happen. And then abduction, force and kidnapping. The boogeyman does not exist. I can tell you that right now. It's a very small percentage. It's not happening as much as you think. Some risk factors for labor trafficking, immigration statuses, being illegal, low levels of education, sex trafficking is homelessness. One of the things we forget about is the LGBTQ. So we're like, how is it that a gay teen boy can be vulnerable to sex trafficking? It's very simple. One of the number one ways that happens is they go, hi mom, I'm gay. And mom goes, what? Get the hell out of my house. The number one traded commodity for sex trafficking of juveniles is a bed to sleep on at night. Now take a kid that's not homeless because he's gay, I can doubt. Grooming is just befriending, intoxicating, alienating, and basically social isolation. It's being found on social media. Gaming, sexting, all of that's occurring. If you have kids that play Fortnite, you know, whatever, just hang out with them. Watch what's happening on Fortnite. You'd be surprised. We do have cases where grown men are communicating with children on these games. Some different apps. Calculator Plus does hide photographs, so if you download the calculator, it's a functioning one, you put in your code, and guess what? Now you've got a fault. So if it's blue and black on your kid's phone, you got a problem. Snapchat, things like that, things that go away instantly. Connection websites, or apps rather. So Tinder's a big one that you'll find a lot of trafficking on. MeetMe, there's some other ones that are more aimed for dating, but is what it is. Buyer operations, we target buyers. Basically, all of these guys on here, except for the dude in the bottom, like second to the left, he's really ugly. He had a guy in his nose ring. Everybody else is pretty much normal. That moron just looks, you would just not have anything to do with him. So what all contributes?
What about the two women in those pictures?
So we have had women in the past. Typically what you come across when you have a woman buying sex is, I want to surprise my husband and have a threesome tonight. That's typically what's happening. So they'll work out the negotiations because they're going to give the husband a wild treat for the night. They show up. They meet us. We'll kind of move past the pornography thoughts, but it does have a direct correlation to sex trafficking just because of desensitization to kids. They will typically basically see that a lot of these more brutal and vulgar things are okay, and then it leads from there. And I'm starting to speed up a little bit just for the sake of time. I know you guys are pressed for lunch breaks. Who are victims? Basically, anyone could be a victim. I don't care who you are, you're not immune to it. It can be somebody from an Asian country. It can be somebody from a very affluent neighborhood in the very nice parts of Austin, Texas. It happens all the time. What to look for on labor trafficking? So out in this part of the state, you're going to find more labor than you will sex. What you're looking for is people that aren't free to come and go. You'll often find where they're housed, and they're literally driven via bus from one location to the other. Not being in possession of money or identifying documentations. Most times the trafficker will say, hey, the U.S. is a very, very unsafe country. You'll get robbed and they'll take your passport. Let me hold it for you. And it gets locked in the safe. Guess who doesn't have it? The good guy. A lot of recruitment through false promises, I'll pay you X amount, and they get money taken away because they're not meeting quota, and it creates a spiral where basically you're falling further and further in debt, and they're exploiting you more and more and more to, quote, pay off the debt. So sex trafficking, hiding in bruises, scars, marks, tattoos. You have a kid who goes to school every day, and they're dressed promiscuously, and then all of a sudden they stop and they start wearing long sleeves and jeans all the time. Could that be a problem? Yes. Say you have vice versa. Somebody wears jeans and very conservative, who now dresses very, you know, risque. Could that be a problem? Yes. It's just things to look for. Skipping school, runaways, tattoos. This particular tattoo is what we call a brand. That is actually the trafficker. That's so that other traffickers know this is Emmanuel Bailey's girl. You cannot be with her because my nickname is Mobbin. Money over both the B word and the N word. They know who Mobbin is in the circuits. That's his chick. Barriers to identification. Most victims will not self-identify. Let's think about this. And this is where I love messing with law enforcement and trainings. Is there anybody in the room who wants to stand up amongst all these nice people? We'll just consider the rest of the room a jury. And I'll be the ADA. Will somebody be willing to stand up, and I'm going to question you about the last sexual encounter you had? Anybody? Thank you, because I get really awkward with that. Is there anybody in the room that wants to stand up and tell me the absolute most embarrassing, most disturbing, most emotionally draining thing that has ever happened to you in your life? Anybody. Those are our barriers. Those are the things we come across. Of course, I'm not going to tell you that I've been raped 10 times today. Like, it's not going to happen. So this is Julia. She graduated high school, actually started into college, got hitched up with a guy. Guess who he was? Wrong dude, right? That's also Julia. That's after a couple of years of being trafficked. Julia now works for Unbound out of Fort Worth. I use her in pretty much all of my advanced curriculums. That way she can come in and tell cops, this is what you did wrong. This is what you should have done. If you had just asked me this, I would have told you. So having somebody that really lived through that is great. Very good speaker. Why don't they leave? Typically it is fear. There's a few different ways that we can provoke that. I can threaten you. A lot of times traffickers will get their girls knocked up. Because when you have my baby, guess what you're going to do? Everything I say, because you don't want the baby, you know, placed in harm. Addiction, shaming does happen. Trauma bonding is number one. It's also referred to as learned helplessness. Basically, you get beat down. And then essentially what happens is, psychologically, you go, screw it. And that's when you are, like, there. So what do survivors need to know? It's basically, we can help you out. We can help get you out of this. It is a process. I love when people are like, oh, but the kid's going to run away. I can't do anything because the kid's going to run away. No shit. Be there when they come back. When they come back next time, just be there. You'd be surprised how many of these people just don't have anybody stable in their life. I was told by a trafficking victim out of Canada one time. She's like, you're really good at what you do because you're a pimp. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you're really like a vicarious pimp if you think about it. She's like, you just are always there and you're always this figure that's providing and providing. And eventually, they're going to listen to you. Which if you think about it, that's all you really have to do is just listen. Because that's what they're looking for anyway. So now that you guys know, what can we do?
Be there.
Yeah, be there. You know, look for these things. If you come across somebody that you think for one moment could be a victim of human trafficking, I can tell you some of the... I had a girl call one day, and I kid you not, she's like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and go to Baylor. And I'm like, oh, now we're off to a bad start. She's like, I saw sex trafficking today. And I'm like, oh, sweetheart, you did. Tell me about it. She says, well, I was at the Chinese restaurant over by campus, and I saw a limo pull up, and this wasn't me or the young lady. So I'm not making fun of you. So, but she's like, I saw a girl get out and fix her dress and walk inside, and then a guy got out and he went inside. And I was like, cool. What law enforcement room, dude? He'd be like, I'll be following up on that one. So next day she called. I said, how do you know it's sex trafficking? She said, I went to an Unbound training. I know. Okay. Next day she calls back. I need to see if you did anything. Oh yeah, following up on that one. You know, thanks for the limo, right? I'm like, let me ask you. Did you get a license plate? Because well, she didn't, right? She's like, yeah. That would have been helpful yesterday if you had told me this, young lady. What's the license plate? She's like, well, I'll just send it to you. Okay, here's my cell number. I get a picture of the damn car. I'm like, well, this is even better, right? So run the car. I'm like, have you ever seen it before or after? Very distinct looking limousine. She's like, I see it every day. I'm like, again, why didn't this stuff get relayed yesterday? She's like, it's the executive inn over off the interstate. I'm like, okay, thanks. So what do I do, being a good investigator, right? I just sit and I just stare at this limo, right? Well, eventually what happens? Dude walks out, the girl walks out, they get in the limo, and they drive off. I'm like, holy shit, interesting, at least that part's correct. Come to find out, the dude actually was a trafficker. He had these girls in the vehicle, and what he would do was go around slinging cocaine all around the city of Waco. And as people were buying their cocaine, he'd be like, you want a blowjob? Because it's only going to cost $40. And guess who would get in the back? Some yahoo smoking crack. And it was that simple. So when you're out in your community and you come across these people, the reason I say all that is that was the most ignorant lead I could have ever had in the beginning. But you never, ever know what it's actually going to lead to. So like the Homeland Security, you see something, say something, you know, you see like a package at the baseball field, call us. Same thing. It really does apply. It really does work. And you see something that's odd, always, always reach out to y'all's law enforcement. That's why you pay taxes. We get paid to follow up on whatever it is. Now, if you just see some car driving up the interstate, let's think about this one. But if you see something that just doesn't sit right with you, always call. It doesn't take much. The other thing I'll say is this. We had a case, we've had numerous cases, where somebody calls and they're like, hey, I saw this guy and this girl walk in, and this guy and this boy, it doesn't look right. And there is absolutely nothing that we can do, okay? Nothing. But what happens? Now that you've said that, and you say these two ladies are together, I, as law enforcement, am going to come over here and I'm going to go, hey, ladies, you know, somebody calling me, I just need your information real quick. I'm going to jot it down. What's going to happen? It's going to get put into a log. Y'all may not know this. Anyway, the short version is, when I come across these two and I suspect trafficking going on in Waco, I'm going to start doing searches. And when she says, I don't know her, we just happen to be together today, we met yesterday. And then I come to find out that Houston PD, for instance, had a subject detention on them a year ago. Is that conversation of we've never been, I don't know her, is that panning out? No. So even little things like that can lead to way, way more. So I definitely would encourage you to always make sure you call law enforcement. I know this was a lot. We're drinking water from a fire hose. Does anybody have questions, comments, concerns? Want to know something? Yes, ma'am.
So, can you train hotels here on the interstate?
We can, yeah. We have trained hotels. If y'all have a hotel that is willing to listen, by all means. Some of our best tips come from hotels in the city of Waco. You treat some hotel employees right, maybe throw them some Starbucks every now and then. You'd be surprised some phone calls you'll get. I'm for real. You will get some phone calls, and they'll be like, hey, you really need to check our room 203. So yes, absolutely. Hotels are a great, great resource to train.
Truck stop areas?
Truck stops, yes. You do see some truck stop trafficking. It's not as prevalent anymore. But a lot of those type traffickings are coming back with Backpage being shut down and a lot of the internet venues being shut down. They're starting to kind of resurface. So yes, we do. Anybody who will listen.
There's an app that people go in and take photos at a hotel?
Yep.
What is that?
It is to... Let me check. Traffic Cam. So it's TRAFFICKCAM. It's an app that you can download. If you go stay wherever, say you're at the... Give me a motel here. La Quinta. You say I'm at the La Quinta in Fairfield. Plug that information in. I'm in room 205. You go in, you snap your pictures, it uploads to this. So what happens down the road is I'm like, Jesus, I've got this trafficking victim, and here's a picture of her, and I don't know where this is. I can submit that to Traffic Jam, and it can use recognition of all the stuff that computers do and say, hey, this looks like room 209 of the La Quinta in Fairfield, Texas, and then it will pin me down to that. So I can turn around and use that as a very helpful tool because the overwhelming majority of this stuff is happening in hotels. Yes, ma'am.
I know of an incident where this lady was driving down, she and her husband were driving separate cars down the interstate, and they stopped at a gas station or something, and then when they came out, she drove a little sharp ways down the road and her tire went flat. And then two men came up in a car to get help her. Well, her husband saw her, and of course he stopped, and so it stopped. What they found is it was just a tiny little cut in the tire. They didn't want it to go flat too quick, mm-hmm. but be far enough away from help that they could catch her.
Yeah. Yeah, there are things like that that occur that people employ, like ruses basically, to create the environment for us to talk. It's very, very possible to figure out what it was.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
From a financial institution standpoint, do a lot of sex traffickers go through banks? Or
so I actually just got a scholarship to get certified by the, the Association of Bank? Yeah, by ACAMS, which I'm really excited about. I'm finding like all this fraud, I had no idea. Yes, financial institutions are great. And I'll give an example. Right now I'm working a case that involves Chinese that's international. As a street-level pimp, I can work cash all day. What I think is happening here is that they're actually mailing cash money to New York, which is being picked up at the UPS station. And what it's doing is avoiding a lot of that. The problem is that lady has to, at some point, put money in the bank. So you know how money laundering works. At some point, that money has to go in the bank. So I'm waiting on her... I'm waiting on a fencing report with CTRs and SARs and things like that to come back. Banking institutions are huge because so with the Know Your Customer and all that, where you're out, you know this guy should not be depositing $10,000 all of a sudden on a biweekly basis. Does it prove anything? No. Does the CTR matter? Of course, because when I suspect trafficking and I'm able to go back on that and go, holy shit, they're moving a lot of money and this is how it's doing, you guys have essentially built a money laundering case for us. The overwhelming majority are going to be national banks, so Bank of America, Chase Bank, things like that. But what I'm also finding now is that a lot of them are using smaller banks, and I think it's because they feel like you can still do electronic transfer. So if you're, for instance, in Fairfield and you're just depositing everything that's going to be under, $23,000, so everything $2,900 below, I can move that all day long. And that's a reasonable amount. And it may be going to Bank of America, from Bank of America, to Union Bank, and then shipped to China. So, yeah, banking institutions are huge.
Yeah.
You have to move money.
Anybody else? Everybody here is ready to go save the world, throw rocks at tractors?
All right, if there's anything that we can do, I don't have any cards, but if there's anything we can do for you guys, training-wise, anything like that, we're obviously more than willing to do anything. Feel free to reach out if you call the sheriff's office and wake them and say they talk to Joe, they're going to know you're talking about, because nobody can pronounce my last name. So let me get you to Joe. Scaramucci, like Anthony.
Okay.
So yeah, similar to the White House guy, but not quite as big of an ass. So other than that, is that it for Tom? Right on.